Fuzzy Bread.
Fuzzy Bread.
Hi, this is Act Tree again. This week I'm wondering about something that I don't think very many people consider. Have you ever noticed that in many conversion stories that people tell you, they always start out by giving you the date? I've been thinking about that a lot lately. What is this date supposed to signify? Is it supposed to convince you of something? Like someone will say, "Oh, I got saved in December of 1976. And I really don't know what that's supposed to tell me exactly. I guess it could possibly be something like a baptismal date, how some people celebrate their baptismal dates or something, but I don't know, it just confuses me. If you have a explanation about why people do this sort of thing, please email me at akktri@yahoo.com. I guess it's sort of like how certain products have a born-on date on them. One time, I got a bottle of milk out of the refrigerator that was a month old, but since the seal was still sealed around the lid, it was still drinkable. It didn't even get clumpy. That was kind of cool. And now, let's study a book that has no expiration date. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Open up your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were heathen, you were led astray to dumb idols, however you may have been moved. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are inspired by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I should not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the organs in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single organ, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those parts of the body which we think less honorable we invest with the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior part, that there may be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, then healers, helpers, administrators, speakers in various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Now, how many times have you looked at somebody in the church and said, gee, I wish I could be a good Christian like they are, or I wish I could bring people to church like they can, or I wish I could do this or this like they can? I know I have felt like that numerous times. I guess it didn't help that I went to the University Bible Fellowship. These people like to browbeat you into becoming a Bible teacher. But as we see in 1 Corinthians 12, not everybody has to be a teacher. My parents have often said that I should become a pastor because I am a very religious person. But then again, 1 Corinthians 12 says that we are not all apostles or administrators. Whenever I hear a sermon on evangelism, I begin to feel guilty because I am a shy person and have difficulty even making friends, and then I am expected to go out and bring people to church. It's very difficult for me. But if you look in Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 14, it says, and his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the cunning of men, by their craftiness and deceitful wiles. The point of all this is that we all do not fulfill the same function in the body of Christ, but we are all equally important. And once we figure out our function in the body of Christ, we can work to the best of our abilities and really start to change the world. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, please help us to figure out what our function and purpose is in the body of Christ. Help us to understand what we are good at and what part we play in helping the body of Christ to grow and work in the world for positive change. Lord, please help us to do what you command and help us to work in the world to share the message of Christ and to build up your church. I pray these things in the name of your Son, Lord. Amen.